Ms. Esch, welcome.
Item 5, from the Sustainability Director, Facilities Management Division, Department of Administrative Services, providing an informational report regarding guidelines for electrical appliances and equipment. This item was also considered by the Committee on Transportation, Public Works, and Transit, and at its December 4th meeting, that committee moved to receive and place this item on file. And this item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
If you would just formally introduce yourself by title to our listening audience.
Yes. Julie Esch, Director of Operations for the Department of Administrative Services. Here with Gordy.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Supervisors. This is an important initiative that I've been charged with, that is in developing guidelines for the safe and efficient use of electrical appliances and equipment in county workplaces. These, again, serve two purposes. They would serve two purposes, and they are in development. Essentially, they would specify how, when, and where common workplace electrical appliances and equipment can be used. For example, they would provide instructions and standards for the use of extension cords, power strips, refrigerators, and you name it. We're trying to make these guidelines as comprehensive as possible while still being mindful that we all need, over the course of our daily lives, we all need to use electrical appliances and devices. I believe that the guidelines, when they're when a draft is ready, they will help the county to, they will yield energy savings. For instance, if we have in excess of, microwaves or personal refrigerators. The guidelines will help us to consolidate those and hopefully reduce redundancy in the use of those devices. So there may be some energy savings, but in doing research and preparing the guidelines with the help of others listed on the report, I've come to realize that a big benefit will be the safety. I mentioned power strips and extension cords. Extension cords, I've learned, are really they present hazards in the workplace, quite frankly, in terms of fire hazards, tripping hazards, and just electrical shock hazards in general. So I think that I can't say for sure, but when the guidelines are ready, and I was, as was mentioned at the TPWT committee meeting last week, we are planning to share these with the board. And in fact, we've made contact. We have points of contact. Essentially, Chairwoman recommended that I communicate the draft of the guidelines with both the Parks Committee clerk and the TPWT committee clerk, which I plan to do. And as far as the time frame, we're looking at sharing that draft, you know, as soon as possible, but we're looking at very early, perhaps January of next year.
Good. Ms. Esch, you have matters to add here?
If I may just give a little bit bigger picture look at this, is when after the electrical fire occurred, mm-hmm. and the power was tenuous between the courthouse itself and the safety building, and we had to keep poor Gordy was the one that I sent around, threw him to the wolves, unplugging appliances, things like that, around the courthouse and the safety building. Because it was really, I mean, we had peeper power outside in the street monitoring power use. It was that, you know, tenuous. And that's, we'd known for a long time that there were probably issues with daisy chaining of different electrical cords and that kind of thing. But he came back and went, wow, there really is an issue. I myself saw more just going from floor to floor. So we realized we had to come up with something, a more stricter set of guidelines. However, knowing particularly how this is an older building, and we've got areas of the building, like particularly in courts where you've got staff, where there are no common kitchenette areas and things like that, that we will have to slowly work through that. We're not, you know, we want to roll this out slowly to get everybody's input and not and understanding that there are going to be limitations in certain areas. So I just wanted to bring that forward as well.
Questions by committee members of either Ms. Esch or Mr. Bennett? Supervisor Haas?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Bennett and Ms. Esch. A pleasure as always. So I'm I've read about this, and I'm hearing about this, and I'm thinking of this is very strange for me to think this is the hand of government reaching in and unplugging your things, which actually leads me to a productive idea then. excuse me. And through this process, will we be able to find where, say, we can have facilities department work to install additional outlets, make infrastructural improvements that would help alleviate some of these issues? I know a colleague who's not on this committee remarked, I believe during the Transportation Committee, that he believed he had some of those daisy-chained extension cords in his office due to the lack of outlets. So, thank you.
Supervisor Schnapper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, you're just the safety building in this building, or are you going to look at all the facilities? Is that a projected goal?
Mr. Chair, committee members, it will be rolled out to all facilities, but we're going to start here initially and try to work our way through, knowing that there not everything is going to be necessarily uniform across all buildings.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Rooney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there a penalty for violating these guidelines? Is there anything that would deter people from actually, you know, overutilizing the energy?
Death, maybe.
Mr. Chair, supervisors, as you may recall, in 2008, there was a memo issued by Department of Administrative Services, I believe, the director at the time. She required that, stated that it was that, for instance, space heaters were not allowed in county workplaces. So, but at that time, and not to be critical of that effort, I think that's an important policy to establish or a standard to establish. The guidelines, again, they're still a work in progress, but the intent is to not only establish those standards and to tell county employees and visitors to our facilities, you know, what our standards are, but also to add a little bit of teeth to those types of standards. So yes, we're working on, you know, out the enforcement aspects of the guidelines as well, and we are considering those.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't read this memo, but I was told that microwaves are unplugged, the vending machine is unplugged, and different things are unplugged in order to save energy. Is that working? And is that going to be part of the guidelines? Then plug everything and plug it back in and plug it back out.
Well, there are, Mr. Chair, Supervisor, excuse me, there are certain devices that produce heat. Yes, even things as simple as toasters, it's recommended that we unplug them after using them, as silly and perhaps as time-consuming as that may sound. Certainly, space heaters they're hazards, quite frankly, and they consume an excessive amount of energy. So I personally would like to see no space heaters being used. There may be some exceptions that where the facility is not heated or cooled appropriately, and you know, exceptions may be needed in special circumstances. But to answer your question, there are certain electrical appliances and equipment that it's recommended that we do unplug them after being used.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, just clarify too. Once we get our permanent power back, which was what we're working on now, you may have seen some of the equipment on 10th Street, that's what we're working on now, then those kitchen areas where, you know, like ours in 308 has been unplugged since the beginning of the fire, those will be allowed to be plugged in. And that's what we're trying to do, is get to more of a centralized point where they can have, people can have a centralized common refrigerator or microwave area. And again, we know that might be a challenge in some spaces.
Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick follow-up. So will part of this project be to determine where we have these issues, such as the daisy chained extension cords, and you know, where there's a need for building infrastructure, and then will that be provided back to, say, finance committee, or actually, will two questions then? Will that be provided to finance committee so we can put it in, say, next year's budget? It's a long way away, calendar. But some departments might be able to use fund transfers or other tools just to get it done a little quicker. So I think it might be appropriate for some of those to go to finance committee, but might be more appropriate, honestly, for it to go to, say, a department head where they can submit a request to get it done faster. That way they don't have to wait most of a year to get it done, especially if it's something where it's going to have an immediate impact on the people, because really that's what I know you're thinking about it, and that's one thing I think about too. So how is this, who does this come back to, and who else does it go to? Thank you.
Mr. Chair and supervisors, that's a good question, and that's some of the things that we're working on right now, is thinking that through. If I may also, though, as we talk about space standards, this if I can just use a quick example, when I worked for the State Department of Transportation many years ago, they went through this, where they went and the space standards changed such that everybody was based on your title, how much space you got for your cubicle, and that's kind of what we're looking to do. But they also then provided a kitchenette area where everybody, and it was a very full working kitchenette area. That's something that we'll eventually work towards. But knowing that we can't do that immediately, that's why we're going to have to slowly roll this out and determine how we might fund things in the interim. You're correct.
If I may, just to add, there are certain efforts underway. For instance, IMSD, I know, is in the process of consolidating printers, really encouraging departments and managers to do away with personal printers, or printers that are at least based in an individual's office. And so in some cases, I could see these guidelines, and the guidelines will comment on, printers. But I could see that the guidelines will help to reduce the need for additional electrical outlets. But you're absolutely correct in your observation that in some spaces, we need more outlets. So, yeah, we're going to try to address that issue.
Good, thanks. Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think printers are actually, they can be a phantom power draw. They're always on. They're always there. It's not that big a deal. But you get 100 printers, 200 printers, always on, always sucking that little bit of power. For the situation you've been dealing with, I know that must add up. So that's a... Mr. Chairman, I think they're on a good path of this, and I look forward to hearing more as it's ready. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Chairman and committee members. I fully expect to be grandfathered in to allow me to keep my jacuzzi in my office. So I just wanted to make that public statement.
Well, Supervisor Borkowski, I was hoping we'd be able to maintain the steam iron. As a favor to me, as the oldest member of the board, Supervisor Borkowski comes in before each meeting to iron my face before we appear on camera. And I don't know how we get along without that.
Wow. I'm doing a lousy job.
This, if there are no further questions, this item is informational. And we thank you both for your participation and report.
Thank you.
Item number 6, please.